On June 27, 2015, WRFR's Ron Huber interviewed Judith Lawson of Rockland about the big gas project proposed for that city. Joining us by phone is Judith Lawson. What is really going on with this Rockland gas issue?
For that we must go to the Chilean Seabass Report. The Chilean Seabass Report, keeping an eye on Rockland and the Penobscot Bay coast on the western side of the bay, seems to be as confused as the disunited states of America have made many people, in that the whole world, you see, according to all of its major voices and leaders, is burning down in a big, big problem. As beautiful as it is here in the harbor of Rockland this morning, the world is burning down. We must stop burning fossil fuels, extracting them and burning them.
Why this venture? Why this pressure now to suddenly thrust pipelines up and down this bay, bring them down from maritime? Who's behind this and why?
The Seabass says, money talks. And in this case, money screams. And big money always talks dirty.
So do we have to talk dirty? Do we have to talk dirty back? Or how do people cope with such an awful onslaught?
Well, you know, the fishes in the sea only attack each other and eat each other when it's the next meal. It has to do with how species survive on our planet. In the case of Homo sapiens, and particularly members of the Rockland City Council, they seem to have complete disregard for their fellow human beings and other beings on the planet and in the bay. Because when you say, oh, yes, let's have this marvelous fossil fuel plant right here in Rockland, in the city, you are saying you're giving the middle finger to the rest of the world, the rest of the living beings on the planet. It's just that. It's as simple as that. It's money over everything else, because it's money that motivates people to do these kinds of things. You know that.
Well, all right. So let me ask you then, if you've got the various moneyed classes here, and we have we have yes, hello? We have the various moneyed classes here. And so what is the dynamic in Rockland that suddenly has shifted over the years, or is this a sort of a continuing sort of usurpation of the development process into a sort of a land rush?
Well, the Seabass Network, which really extends from pole to pole in the colder waters on both ends, says that it sees, it traces whatever is driving the city councilors of the harbor of Rockland to propose this monstrosity, and that they have been scheming and plotting to do this for quite a while, is some of the same, let's call them, that got Governor LePage into office. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, and anybody who doesn't know what that thing is, it's called the coctopus, should go and read a newspaper, perhaps, or look online for some other news besides Fox.
So our state administration is permanently in the grip, or the embrace, more likely, of the coctopus.
29 Tea Party governors, Paul LePage, is routinely cited as the worst of the Tea Party governors, and everybody knows that there is now a movement in the legislature to find a way, since Maine's constitution doesn't have an impeachment provision, but there are all sorts of other workarounds, and I think they will find a great deal of support. The state of Maine doesn't like to be embarrassed over and over and over again, and also bilked over and over.
I was about to say, the embarrassment part, fine, but when they start tearing down things and threatening to industrialize this bay by bringing in the gas and the infrastructure, then I got a problem with that.
Well, Ron, you should have a problem with it. You know, the whole world is watching what the U.S. does, because this country's been dragging and lagging for a long time on the central problem facing humanity on the planet now. And if we don't get this right, as Dr. Peter Wadhams, one of the foremost climate and oceanographic scientists in the world at Cambridge University, said last year, we have already passed the point where 2 degrees centigrade rise in global temperature is possible. We're just going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And you know what that does to the marine environment. You've been talking about it a lot. And I've seen it now from Chile to Penobscot Bay, from Puerto Montt, Chile, about the same latitude south as Penobscot Bay is north.
And so are you seeing a movement of southern fishes to the toward the poles and northern, and toward both poles?
Oh, my God, the cod have fled to Iceland, you know that. And in the Southern Ocean, similar migrations of fish towards Antarctica are being seen.
You know, my friends who were in Nova Scotia talk about groupers and things now routinely.
Yeah, well, you know, it's getting too hot in the customary latitudes. We've had this long summer of 10, 11,000 years with the Earth's climate stable, but we two-legged, five-fingered beings have destabilized the climate, and the oceans are beginning to talk back in a big way. What I saw in Chile was what an oceanographer told me is the death of the Pacific. It's a pretty horrible statement. And I also am aware not many people are. It wasn't reported in mainstream media that many West Coast fisheries, the shell fisheries, were shut down for a period of several days just last week because of huge algae blooms, the likes of which they've never seen before. Algae blooms when the waters get hot and when they are polluted and contaminated.
Yeah, when there's food for the little fellows.
Right, right. So I actually have a friend who wrote a sort of friend's version of which would be set to the marvelous tune of our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. May I online or
yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, ahoy, can you see, or our bay by the sea, clouds of smog and debris, if you have your own gas plant, with a dense methane cloud, oh, for crying out loud, how can we, by the sea, let such a horrible thing be? I'm not a great songwriter.
You're not Jimi Hendrix here.
I'm not Jimi Hendrix. You know, it's almost becoming Yes Men. It is Yes Men material. It's really funny. It's horribly funny. It's dark humor. But how could Portland City Council even consider a fossil fuel plant here? A source point for shipping big ships full of liquid natural gas out of Rockland Harbor, which is,
that leads to a really important challenge, I thought, that was revealed sort of in this recent article about Valley Geiger. And that is the Island Institute. Wonderful outfit, but they seem to be telling the one, we know that they're very close. They have a close personal relationship with Jim Gordon, the owner of the subsidiary REC, and they have for a long time through his Cape Wind thing. A noble effort at doing something. It's somewhat ill-starred now. But they have been working now, we're found out, behind the scenes with NRCM, another one who's full of praise for this wonderful chap. And we're expected that those two NGOs working together, and, of course, not working with the public or anybody that might, you know, get in the way of the sort of prearranged decision, are being presented to the city council as the objective ones. And these are folks that have closer relationships with Jim Gordon than Mr. Chelsea's.
like groupers group together, you know. This does have a long history. And although I have known and been friends with Phil Conkling, who founded the Institute, since I was Phil's student on an Outward Bound course. That's where he even put the little white cottage on Rockland Harbor into service as the first home of the Island Institute. But the problem is big money and lack of transparency and the ogreish government that has taken over the United States. The United States is no longer a democracy. Very big studies out of Princeton, Northwestern, have concluded that over the past few years. These are long studies. We have lost our democracy, and we have something called an oligarchy plutocracy, even an inverted totalitarian system, where big money rules, big corporations rule, nonprofit or not. They work together. Think of Karl Rove and his various outfits, which have abused, this is my view, but have very badly abused the nonprofit status, which is, had customarily been given only to charitable and religious and organizations working for the social good, right, not the political power.
Just very clear. I mean, we've tried to get the Institute interested in taking part in our Baykeeper project, and they're not there, too. I think there's a challenge sometimes, like any company goes, or any organization goes through fits and spasms, and the folks right now are really not interested in advocacy, which is, by definition, an adversarial thing.
Yeah, it is adversarial. We cannot be adversarial anymore. We are all in the same boat. And I'd love to have Gordon Bach sing that song. He does it so beautifully. We are in the same boat. There is no escape. If anyone would like to read Elizabeth Colbert's article in the New Yorker of, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago with the locker room boys in the Republican primary on the cover. It's a very good article because she brings out that this idea of traveling to Mars, resettling another planet after the very rich and corporations have trashed our wonderful Earth, is not feasible because they won't make it. The simple as that.
It made for great fodder as a kid reading science fiction. I loved all that colonizing stuff. But
it was wonderful.
Arthur Clarke was the best. Mars.
Listen, I'll conclude with this.
Yes, thank you.
If some group of the folks in their ilk, maybe somebody from Rockland could do that, can fork up the money to make that voyage to Mars on a private spacecraft, possibly a waypoint at a space hotel, and the money would be, we were talking about probably $1 billion per person to do that, to colonize, or at least explore, maybe colonize the planet Mars, which is the one they seem to be most interested in. And they arrive, and guess what? Mars is inhabited. And the inhabitants greet them and say, maybe not welcome. You've trashed your planet, and we're not sure we're going to let you on ours. How about that?
That's good. And, of course, one almost wishes that the Native Americans, when Christopher Columbus had arrived, were able to say such strong things, too.
But, well, they did. They just did it in their own language.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to have to take off. So what is a walk-away thing for people to think about?
The changing climate, which is becoming runaway climate change, even though, as I sit here on Rockland Harbor, it is absolutely gorgeous, and it's blowing maybe 4 knots, and everyone looks happy and is working on their tan and fiddling around on their boats. That's just the weather right here, right now. It's very hard for people to grasp this incredibly enormous challenge that humankind is facing, and we have to work culturally now to help people understand and become courageous in the face of this challenge and cooperative, all those good C words that do not include competitive, because if we don't do this together, it won't happen. We have to do this
together.
That
sounds good. It just makes me think of the Cowardly Lion getting a heart, finally, and the Tin Woodman being wise enough to listen to that Cowardly Lion, and so on. We could all work together, like you said, if we get brave.
If we get brave, and if we think with our hearts, and that is what any indigenous wise person would say, too. Do we have time? You know, there are all those calculations that the competitive, stress-filled Western mind goes through. Do we have time? Can we do it? It's all over. Those are just what Tibetans would call the demons of the mind. They're just thoughts. Yeah. They're not reality.
We needn't be defeatist. All right. Well, look, thank you very much, Judith. And we will
You're welcome, Ron.
Hope to hear from you again shortly. I'll see you.
Well, thank you for staying with it and protecting the Penobscot Bay for so long.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Judith Lawson of Rockland, Maine, interviewed by WRFR's Ron Huber. For more on what's happening in and around Maine's biggest bay and how you can be involved, look up Friends of Penobscot Bay or go to penbay.net.